the point of the model is for us to be able to show individual parts of our campus and our stakeholders where our resources are coming from and where they're going, and then show them that through our calculation process, we're trying to value each of the parts and missions of our institution. So we believe going forward, people will be better able to make decisions if they have some sense of each of the things they do, how does it impact the revenue parts of the model, and how does it impact the cost parts of the model.
Can you talk a little bit about how you see this affecting some of the key departments and divisions on campus? What do you want them to sort of take away from the model, and what do you want them to keep in mind as they learn more about this model?
So if I could be granted one wish, it would be that every part of the institution take the time over this next year to dig in and understand their own unit and how the model works within their unit. So working collectively within the college, schools, and divisions, each area understand, and each of them are going to have opportunities and challenges. And so each of them need to think through it and say, okay, well, I don't really have an opportunity here, but I do have one where I could increase revenue in the tuition space because I could teach some more courses, or I have an opportunity to decrease my cost for space. So we know the answers aren't all the same, and so that's part of the power of the model, is that individual areas can just look at it and think through, well, what is it I actually have an opportunity to change, and now I know how making that change will impact my finances going forward.
Okay, and I mean, one question for clarification, is this across the whole UM system, or is this just here in Columbia?
So this model is for our campus here in Columbia. The UMKC campus has a similar kind of model that they've been working through over the last number of years. At the system level, I know that folks are having conversations about how do we all make sure that we're prepared for the future and how we're going to finance education.
What has been some of the feedback that you've received from some of the faculty who have asked questions here? What tone are you seeing, and what kind of questions are you getting?
So I would say, as I started my comments, there's some amount of trepidation, and change and uncertainty will produce that. That's one of the reasons that we're doing this more than a year out from when we're actually going to use the model to arrive at people's allocations. We want them to take that energy that may come around with, I need to know what this means, and really be able to use it effectively to come up with solutions for the future. I also am getting a significant number of people who are not the people who stand up in forums telling me this is really the kind of thing this university needs to do, that for people to be able to operate at their highest level of efficiency, they need to know the context in which they're working much better than they have in the past. And so lots of faculty and staff have said that they see this as a very empowering move, so that individual decision makers really know how they're adding to the success of the university, or how they may be unintentionally driving a cost that isn't really that important to them. So I understand the amount of anxiety that some are feeling, but I definitely am hearing from folks that they see this as a way that they can help, as some have said, you know, chart their destiny, that they have more ability to do so in this environment.
Well, and that's sort of one aspect that I wanted to try to understand about this, is that it seems that with this model that, and tell me if I'm understanding this correctly, that then these decision makers at these various departments and schools are going to have the responsibility of meeting a certain allocation. You're saying, hey, you get $80 million, you know, you can get to that amount however you'd like, whether it's through, you know, this method of, say, you know, affecting graduate school courses or using less space or something like that. But it seems that one of the key differences here is that there's a responsibility on those decision makers to then sort of, you know, as you said, control their own destiny within their own department. Is that correct?
Yes. We have long expected individual units to live within the resources we provide them. The part that's been murky to them is the general revenue part of it, how to really understand how that's going to change over time. So this just gives them a lot more certainty about, as things are changing, how they might be able to predict my current activity in the model is going to result in these kinds of outcomes. And so I think it puts decision makers in a position of knowing a lot more. And one of my backgrounds is economics. And, you know, one of the rules of economics is full information to the extent you can get there. So anyone who's faced with decisions, the more and better data they have about the impact of those decisions or what led to the outcomes, that gives them a different frame of reference on how they're going to decide in the future. So to me, it's very empowering. It will come with a lot more questions than we've had in the past, but that's how we're going to find the answers to how we make Mizzou stronger in the future, is this collection of amazing people who know a great deal about what they're doing, asking really good questions about, well, why do we do that way? Or, you know, it's having a negative impact on what you're telling me your priority is. I mean, people need to surface all those ideas so that we can make really good decisions for the people of Missouri and our students, and we're excited about the opportunity that presents.
And so, I mean, as it was kind of brought up by someone asking a question in there, is there a concern about departments sort of spending money? Because there is this idea that at the end of a fiscal year, 10% would be taken out and sort of redirected to be used elsewhere. Is there a concern about sort of encouraging wasteful spending there?
So, you know, I think anytime you're making a change, at the face of it, people might have an initial knee-jerk kind of reaction about, well, this means. And so fully expect that some number of people will think about that. But I have faith that these folks who've worked hard to generate those resources are going to think very carefully about, well, what should I be doing with them? Those resources don't exist because people are willy-nilly doing things that aren't important. They're here because they want to make a big difference. So that's kind of my comment to the one individual. If there are really important things that he could be doing with those resources and he's been putting them off out of worry, then I'm glad that a 10% tax inspires him to go ahead and do the important things versus sitting on too much money worrying about what tomorrow is going to look like. I think most people, when at the end of the day, though, 10% is not going to be enough to dramatically change their trajectory. I think that if they believe they needed to keep a certain amount of resources in the past, they're likely to not drastically change that because of a 10% tax on their reserves.
I just have a couple more questions. One of them being, what are some misconceptions that you're hearing about the model, and what would you like to clarify about those misconceptions?
One is that the model is exactly as it is from top to bottom. The model operates at the college school division level, and there's a whole set of conversations starting from here that have to happen down in schools and colleges. So I don't expect any school or college to take exactly the model and say to their departments, we're doing exactly this. Each of them are going to have to think about what infrastructure is necessary in their college. So what you're seeing in our model is what we think it takes for the campus-wide infrastructure. They then have infrastructure in their schools and colleges. And so I anticipate that there's a whole lot of discussion that needs to happen. And what we're very much encouraging leaders is to create the avenues for that discussion so that each college, school, and division can be thinking through how do they now use the model to effectively drive their part of the university.
It seemed that, and you made a point to emphasize this, and so I wanted sort of a clarity, because I think that that's one point that I've heard as far as a miscommunication, is that revenue generating spaces or departments or schools will be sort of like charged for the space they use. So what will happen for the non-revenue generating spaces? How will this be incorporated into how they plan for the future?
So as one of those entities myself, each of us that has a service role at this university, we're not here generating revenue, but we're here to do a very specific set of tasks that serve our broader community. We're going to have to think very carefully about, are we as efficient and effective as we should be? It creates an environment where we have a strong incentive to listen to the people we're serving even more than we ever have. So if my division isn't serving the needs of this campus well, I need to know that. And I need to figure out how do I make adjustments. Each of us as cost centers will then be bringing forward a budget each year and saying, okay, here's what we think we need and here's why we think we need it. And the folks who then have to pay for that, they get an opportunity to see what we're saying. You know, so it's not that any of us who want an increase say, well, I want a 10% increase, and then the model just automatically charges everybody else that added cost. It's a matter of I have to justify what I think I need, and then it goes through the same administrative structure where the chancellor and provost have an opportunity in concert with the committee that has oversight to say, well, Rhonda, I understand why you'd want a 10% increase. That's not realistic in this context, or the things you've laid out simply can't be our priorities this year. And so I think that, it's a change for every leader. No matter where you're sitting in the university, it's encouraging us all to think very carefully about why we're here and are we doing it well.
Can you talk a little bit about and if you don't want to get into specifics because it's hard to get into specifics, I understand. The idea of allocating space, what do you say to people who kind of question that, hey, you know, I can't choose the space I'm in, you know, I'm in a building that is X number of decades old or whatever, and so those costs I can't really affect or change. What do you say to people who question the model on those grounds?
So all of the different costs in the model, individual decision makers don't get to pick. So the cost of my unit and all the administrative units, there are a fair number of people who say, well, we don't think we need you. They don't get to make that choice because we collectively as a university have to move forward together. It's similar with space. People don't get to choose the individual spaces they're in, but no matter what space they're in, it's not free. So what the model is doing is just wanting us all to acknowledge that that space comes with a cost. And if you don't like the space you're in, then we certainly were happy to hear from you. But the university has the same kinds of limitations on doing whatever we want with space that we do on anything else we want to do. It's not possible for us to instantly have the space everybody would want the most to have. But this is going to make it much easier for people to think through the fact that, okay, if we want better spaces in the future, maybe we are more efficient with what we have now. We start saving money by not using space inefficiently, and that resource can potentially be turned into new and better spaces down the road.
I've heard some concern about the using the phrase resource allocation model because I've looked at other universities and they've seen results at some that don't quite match up with what they hope for. What is there anything that distinguishes this plan from those other kinds of models? What is taken from the other ones and what is different about this one?
So the saying that we use in our nerdy world of how finance works is if you've seen one RCM, you've seen one RCM. So you've heard that kind of language about lots of other things in life. Our model is not identical to anyone else's. We certainly have the opportunity to learn from other universities who've launched them. And so I think we've really built into our plan some lessons learned from what didn't go as well other places. I worked in the extension division for a long time in my career, and one of the things I watched at some other universities is you implement something like this and those land grant missions are some of the things that since they don't generate much tuition, it's a problem how you're going to fund those. So I think one of the things we've done is be very clear that we know we need mission support money. Right out of the gate, we've said we need a pool of funds that help us make sure we're true to the broad mission of this institution. Many models, and largely they're at institutions not as diverse as ours, but they become very focused on just the tuition part of it. That's not who we are. So you can find models where they allocate 100% of all the tuition back to schools and colleges. We're not doing that because we understand our mission is broader than the instruction mission alone. Another thing I would say is different is the way that we're handling state appropriations. We're wanting to provide just as much transparency and clarity to our important partner at the state as we are with other partners. And so oftentimes in these models, that state appropriation part is kind of held at the top and it gets used for administration and facilities. We want to respect the fact that the state's been pretty clear with us what their priorities are, and we want to show we're using that resource in that manner. And the other thing that we really learned from some other universities launching their models is having these governance committees set up before the model is completely happening. Not, you know, many of them intentionally thought, well, we're going to review the model in 3 years. Well, things, when you're launching one, there may be things that pop up fairly early that, you know, in general, we all agree, you know, we're going to change that part. You know, the committee did due diligence, but they can't know everything. So by having this committee structure in place before we ever actually launch the first use of the model, it gives us an opportunity to hear from our broad community about what concerns they have. And if we have general agreement that that's the right kind of change, we could make that change before we're too far down the pipe.
Okay, and as we kind of wrap up here, is there anything else that you really want to emphasize that people understand about the model going forward that you think either there is a misconception about, or what do you want people to take away from the hearing like it was today and yesterday?
That this is a process that builds the Mizzou of the future, and that it's going to take place over a period of time. There's no intention to rush this to the point that we do damage the really important things this institution does. So I really, if I could stress a single point a great deal. It's that be part of the process, and it is a process, and that's the reason that we're not saying, you know, we're flipping a switch July 1 of 2020. We're saying, you know, we're going to give you a year to understand. Then we're going to start using that data in July 1, 2020. And then we have a three-year period where we're going to keep understanding from people, okay, what business plans does it take to make this successful over the long haul?
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.